If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
So we live in a world that's increasingly wired, and it is happening with such a great speed of acceleration that soon we won't even be able to buy a refrigerator that doesn't tell us what food is on the inside, as if every one of these things represents progress. But for a lot of people, and I'm one of them, this headlong rush to progress comes at the expense, perhaps, of our overall health and well-being and our things that many of us need to be worried about. You know, I've been on the air with you for 15 years, and I've had people call and tell me about their chemical sensitivities. I've had people call and tell me about how the wireless technology in the world has physically disrupted their entire being. And for a long time, we've been told that there's an inevitability of the next generation of wireless technology called 5G, which will improve our lives immensely by more and more and more enabling the being out there, the great iCloud in the sky, to know more and more about us, to help direct us for more and more convenient lives as we sit on our tuchuses in an increasingly sedentary world and don't even realize the extent to which radiation in the environment is bombarding us, our plants, and our animals. It may be an inevitability, it's true, but joining us right now are two people who are determined to, at the very least, slow it down so that our leaders and policymakers can evaluate the science and debate the pros and cons. What are the risks versus benefits of moving forward with 5G technology? Joining us right now is representative from Stanford State, Representative David Michel, and also Susan Clark, who is behind Connecticut Residents for Responsible Technology. Our telephone number, if you want to weigh in or ask a question, is 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show. Representative Michelle, hello, and Ms. Clark, hello, and welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Let me begin with you, Representative Michelle. Can you tell us, you're a state rep for Stanford. Incidentally, what part of Stanford do you represent?
I represent Chepin, the South End, and downtown in Stanford.
Okay, so that's a hugely, I would say, diverse kind of area in terms of not only the demographics, but the real estate. You've got everything from old industrial redeployed to beautiful new high-rises to single-family homes on the water, right?
Well, yes, I do think I have probably one of the most diverse districts in the state in terms of social, financial status,
yeah,
and as well as also cultural, with downtown and also Chepin and the South End.
Yeah, very interesting. So we can look at that as a microcosm of a lot of other places in Connecticut. So Representative Michelle, why do you feel the need to stop before Connecticut goes ahead and upgrades to 5G? And I guess I should first ask you to explain, what is 5G versus 4G? Why is there any kind of public alarm about this at all?
Well, so Lisa, I'm just going to remind everyone, I'm not a scientist, huh? But I'm definitely worried. I'm part of the Public Health and Environment Committees, and I'm not determined to stop technology or to stop it, but I want to hold it so that we could have proper due diligence in terms of public health and environmental impacts.
Is there anything that requires government authorization for this to happen, or is this something that private enterprise can do without you anyway?
So, no. I mean, we have entities in the state, like the Siting Council and PURA, who are handling, giving out, I believe, the permits to the contractors, developers, or telecoms directly, they, you know, when we had this bill on the floor, I actually had not realized, you know, we deal with, I think, anywhere between 5,000 to 7,000 bills, and all of us are split up, you know, we have 27 committees, I'm not in energy. And, you know, I'll be very straight and honest. I did miss the fact that there was a 5G bill coming to the floor on the last day of session. Wow. And I remember running down from the Senate because we were rapid filing bills. And I saw this bill on the board as I'm storming into the House chamber in a clumsy way, as usual. And it was pretty much immediate. I just pressed no. And then it took me a second to realize, oh, I'm the only red dot in a sea of green. And so some of my colleagues immediately turned around and were asking what is the problem, because they might not have seen the bill. And the impression that most people have is that 5G is like 4G was for 3G, right? And it's really not. We're talking about a very different technology. We're talking about microwaves. And again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm probably not going to use the best terminology, and I know there are specific terms. But before this bill came to the floor, I was already aware that in Europe, and I'm French originally, there were very big questions being raised regarding the public health impacts and also the impact on the environment. And so it led me to look into studies, and there are actually thousands of peer-reviewed studies that point out that I want to say EMF, but again, it's not really EMF, but the emissions coming from this technology, the previous technology, which was in much, I'm losing my terms, but say 3G and 4G were in a different spectrum. So we know from peer-reviewed studies that this has an impact on public health, particularly in children, because their bone structure is also thinner. And so looking at these peer-reviewed studies, looking at 5G being deployed in specific areas in Europe, but people raising issues and concerns about their own public health. I also know there's some legislators in France who are trying to ban Wi-Fi from all schools. We're not talking about 5G. We're talking about Wi-Fi and broadband, because those studies that have been going on that now are out are showing negative health impacts on children.
Well, and good luck to them doing it right now with COVID. With COVID, we need it more than ever for distance learning. What a mess, right?
Yes,
Representative Michelle, what a mess. I do want to move to Susan Clark. Thank you for holding. Ms. Clark, you have a 10-year postmaster's background in radio frequency, microwave radiation, bioeffects from the Harvard School of Public Health, and you've spent 30 years advocating the right to environmental health. And you've actually authored legislation to prohibit geoengineering and 5G. So, Ms. Clark, welcome to the show this morning. From a scientific background, what do we need to know about 5G, and why are you devoting so much of your life to trying to stop it?
Thank you so much. And by the way, I'm not in Connecticut, but I was certainly in New England for a bulk of my life. Mm-hmm. This is an established hazard. When we're talking about the current deployment of a combination of 4G LTE and 5G, what they call small cells, which are not small except in dimensions, they're huge in power, sometimes thousands of watts each. But 5G is just a marketing term. What we're talking about is the deployment of pulse-modulated microwave radiation. These are two-way transmissions, not mere emissions. And this is not a matter of mere risk to some people, but not to others. No, this produces harm to all. Everyone is affected, not just children. Children are terribly affected, of course. Also, all pollinators. We must lose all pollinators if this goes forward. The reason why we must is because now we're venturing not only, 5G itself involves not just millimeter waves, as many people point out, which are very, very harmful, particularly to pollinators, but also more centimeter wavelengths and decimeter waves as well. For example, the decimeter wavelength of about 20 inches of T-Mobile has already been deployed all the way across the country, and that wavelength is it approximates the height of a newborn to 1 month old baby. The reason that's important is because, for example, FCC has traditionally, the Federal Communications Commission, has heavily protected against any wavelength that is anywhere near, you know, a third to a three times or whatever, the height of a man. The reason they do that is because if a radio frequency engineer goes to, say, an antenna farm on top of a building or out in the field somewhere, and just one of those antennas that approaches the height of his body is still on, he could be electrocuted instantly. So we've always, or the U.S. government has always heavily protected anything near the height of a man. What about the height of a baby? It's all across the country and right next to people's homes right now.
So we're chatting with Susan Clark and David Michel. Stay with us, please. We're going to be right back after some messages. We're talking about 5G, 203-333-9422, and we will answer your questions. We'll be right back.